Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. With Christy Marie and Julie.
I was going to finish your sentence, girlfriend.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hello, Julie Marie.
Hello,
Christine Marie. As everybody knows out there.
And I'm going to say happy Easter, everybody.
Yes.
Happy Easter.
Yes.
We're still in lockdown and coronavirus. So yeah.
Lockdown is so much better than
stay in place or
sheltering in place.
Shelter in place.
I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
It's lockdown. And not only that, but it saves two syllables. And I'm really all about efficiency right now.
That's right. Yeah. And then lockdown, because, you know.
We're doing a stretch.
Right.
We're doing time on Lakeshore Drive.
And all we're doing is we're trying to slow the spread of the coronavirus because we have no cure at this moment. And usually we like to have our show be evergreen so that whenever you hear it. But now I feel, you go, this could be, you know, kind of cool, right?
You know, right. Christy, Marie, and Julie. Evergreen.
Evergreen. But now, today, this could be looked upon, you know, 100 years from now.
It's going to be in a time capsule.
Say, yeah, like, hey, what were people thinking about?
And in 2020.
Yes. The truth is, we're working harder than ever.
On Easter 2020.
Yeah. And it feels, usually this is a time for renewal. Correct. Mm-hmm. Spring is here and it just feels.
Is it time for eggs?
Right. And mostly we just feel conflicted.
Fertility.
All the time. We just feel conflicted.
Yeah.
Because we want to take care of people.
It is a time of fertility. But would you want to bring a baby into this world?
Oh, the answer is now for you because your baby making years are over.
Like you're saying, it's easy. That's an easy question.
That's an easy no for you. It's a hard no. It's a hard pass. You've got your kids. And so that's why you say, but like if you're 22 and you're kind of like, or 25 or even 31 or 35 and you're like,
you keep adjusting it.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, really, if I want to have a baby, I should think about it now. And maybe my kid is the one that changes the world for the better.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
Yeah. Or it could be a different
social networking platform.
Yeah. Or it could be that kid on the corner all tatted up, having a sign, "We'll work for..." No, not "We'll work for food" because they don't work.
Yeah.
Just your donations matter.
Your donations matter. Well, it's so interesting because we were part of this GoFundMe page.
Yes.
For one of your mom's, one of your good friends.
One of my best friends.
Your best friend's son-in-law.
Right. He was in a very, very, very bad motorcycle accident.
The way I see these GoFundMe pages, they're either very, very successful or not successful at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
this one was extremely successful.
And
over the course of about a week and a half,
yes,
they needed $32,000 because he's in Guatemala.
Yes.
And in the healthcare system down there, you have to pay per day.
Yes.
And if you don't pay,
you get kicked out.
You just get kicked out. It just is like, so sorry. There's no other way.
Yeah.
And so they had to come up with money every day. And so they figured they needed $32,000 and they reached what they needed. And so he was able to stay in, have his surgeries, and now he's at home trying to mend as well.
Right, because they had he's safer at home because they have the coronavirus as well.
Yes.
And everybody's just trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it's very hard because there are moments I forget that there's this invisible virus that can either do nothing to you except maybe give you immunity to it next time around, or you could have it and infect everybody around you and they can get it worse, or you could get it worse and get it bad and not, you know, so there's just such a wide gamut. And I end up just feeling crappy all the time and still going like, hey, gotta still live your life. Kind of got to live your life. There's always this. Mm-hmm. You've been one of your biggest complaints with me, for me, mm-hmm. to me, about me. The thing you complain the most about me lately is you felt that I have been so cavalier with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I've compared it to the flu. Because I felt like the flu is this horrible thing. I mean, we had 13,000 people. As of a month ago, mom's giving me the lie, like, yes, I know.
Well, no, I'm just thinking this is what everybody wants to hear, more virus talk.
I know. Okay, so I'm going to change the mood right now.
No, go ahead and finish your sentence.
I'm not.
Finish your sentence.
I go, so, but, okay, my sentence is this. I was put at ease a little bit about the flu because a doctor had said, and the people who typically die, most of them do not have the vaccination. I'm like, oh, okay, that's good because I always get my vaccination. I can stop worrying. Mm-hmm. And doing all my spiritual stuff, doing my meditation daily, working on the channel work that you're doing, doing fifth dimensional work and trying to get into that non-duality stuff and looking at the world differently. So I'm trying to live in the present moment. I'm trying to not have extreme behaviors or thoughts. Mm-hmm. Our emotions, and trying to bring in more joy, love, and peace to my daily life and my family. Mm-hmm. And then I going to say some weird stuff today, everyone, because really, because I've been living in this crazy world and looking at it as a simulation as well. Mm-hmm. I have been so connected. Remember last week I was telling everybody how I was listening to Dr. Sleep, the second story of The Shining.
Right, right.
What happened to Danny?
Right.
And like
the Red Room little boy.
I was listening to the story, and in there there was 175 written on a baby. They had the exact same moment I was passing one exit 175. They were talking about 3:20 in the morning, and at that moment I looked at my phone, it was 3:20 in the morning.
What?
I'm like, what? Last night I was driving. Now Adam Carolla was talking on the radio, and he was talking on his podcast about this one pitcher and how great he was. And he says, if they got to compare you to a guy that's called Whitey, you know, because only people who were, you know, raised in the 50s were called Whitey, you know, like, you know, Whitey Smith, you know, like, you know, you don't name a kid Whitey, right?
Right.
At that exact moment, a car drove by me. Mm-hmm. A white Passat, which is a Volkswagen, with the license plate. This is license plate. WHTY.
Whoa.
Now, come on. You can't.
Whitey.
I'm not joking.
You are living.
Literally at that moment.
You've got to be. I hope you're watching this.
I'm watching. I'm expressing.
Yeah.
At that moment. As Adam Carolla is talking about the word Whitey, how often do you hear that word?
How are you feeling during all this time?
I'm feeling freaked out.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that I'm aware of this. And so, because you keep telling me, and so as I'm aware of the word Whitey,
what do I keep telling you?
And then also, they were talking about Austin, Texas, and I was in Austin, Minnesota, and I'm like, what? You know, being passed by a Whitey, the license plate Whitey. You have been telling me, okay, here, behind the curtain of our relationship, Mom is definitely the guru in the family, and she is the wise sage one. Mom's like, yeah, that's me, right? Yeah. She takes a cigarette, that's me. Hello. But, you've been saying to me, hey, you're not connecting the dots, Julie. You see part of the picture, but you're refusing to connect the dots. I know you tell me all these facts, but what does it really mean, Julie? Are you connecting the dots? I'm like, Mom, really? I don't know.
I think I said that to Greg yesterday as well.
You did?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yes. And I go,
that's the only advice I can give right now to people that are wondering things is that from what I understand, what my guides have been telling me, is that we're to listen to the 3D world, whatever is going on, but we're also to listen to the voice inside of us.
Right.
And the voice inside of us is recognizing certain things.
Yes.
Right? And so that voice is trying to communicate, I think, a higher truth.
Yes.
Or at least a part of the bigger truth to you.
Right.
And that's a new way of communicating.
Right.
That I think that we're being kind of given right now.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I get you. Mama, I'm getting you.
You get me, girl.
I'm getting you. And so I'm trying to, and it's kind of cute because you'll connect the dots for me.
And then If you're not connecting them, then somebody has to.
And then I throw in some outside dots and you're like, Well, I'm not sure those dots connect to my dots because now my picture looks askew. I don't know. And we're figuring this out. Yeah. But one here, people take notice to what I am saying right now. I'm going to give my mom a clue. But here is something that I thought was very helpful. It was about hand washing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm just like, if I hear one more effing story about hand washing, I'm going to, you know, I'm doing the jerk off mood right now. I can't, you know, come on, no more, no more hand washing. We get it. And then I was to heard it in a different way that was illuminating, illuminating. So I'm going to share it with you. This is actually very important.
Mm-hmm.
That little stupid coronavirus molecule is wrapped in grease. Has a little oil film around it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. It just, that's the way it looks, which is very interesting. I'll come back to that in a second, okay, to that interesting part. So, Mama, you've seen those commercials of all the oil spill
those
out.
Those poor little ducklings.
They're all covered in that dirty oil.
Yeah.
What do you do to get rid of that dirty oil?
Dawn.
Washing your hands with soap.
Go away, I'm no good for you.
It cuts through the grease. And they, so it's not just when you wash your hands with soap, you're not just washing away the germ down the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally cutting that oil film and breaking up that molecule.
Mm.
And I was like, what? That's fascinating.
Awesome. Yeah.
And they tell you to do it for at least 20 seconds. And do you know what the rule of thumb is right now?
Not happy birthday?
Yes.
Oh.
How many times?
Twice?
Yes.
Okay.
And now when I heard that, I thought they were lying.
Why?
I thought, well, I bet you only have to do it once.
And a slow happy birthday.
And so, happy birthday. So then I practice, and I'll be damn, gosh darn it, if doing it normally, it's exactly two times. I mean, 20 seconds is two times.
Yeah.
Now, your mom used to say you must say a Hail Mary.
Yes.
While doing it.
Yes.
And I think might be
I think
two
my
Hail
mom
Mary.
Didn't say Hail Mary when she washed her hands. I'm just thinking.
I'm going to test it right now. I'll see how long one Hail Mary is. Ready?
Yeah.
Get set. And Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen. 10 seconds on the nose. 10 seconds on the nose, people.
Two Hail Marys.
Two Hail Marys or two happy birthdays, depending on what you feel like. I say a day's Easter, go for the Hail Marys.
Yeah.
I just said to you.
Just do a Hail Mary pass.
Do a Hail Mary pass. Use whatever soap you want and break those. It's actually your American duty. Be patriotic. And think about it. Every time you're washing your hands with soap, you are breaking and killing that coronavirus.
Mm.
You're killing it. And so like scrub your body with Irish Spring soap. You know, you never know where it could
be at.
That's
what we use around here.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I mean, I would hate to think what a millennial thinks of that Irish Spring smell.
Yeah.
They might go,
that's old people smell.
That's old people smell. That's what my grandma used Irish Spring.
And my grandma used his treasure.
Racist. Yeah. Irish Spring? That's racist. No. Gender neutral. Gender fluid spring. Fluidity. That's what it's called. Just fluid.
It's a global spring.
Yeah, a global spring.
That way we're not offending anybody.
Don't want to offend.
Or picking on anybody.
Judge nothing or describe. And describing itself is a judgment, I guess.
I know. Like I said, Julie, you know, hand me the flower and you go, where it's at? I go, it's on the Lazy Susan. What? How dare you call the Susan lazy?
You were not only sexist,
yeah,
but you're judgmental.
You're so judgmental.
How dare
what
you?
What a bitch you are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe you can call it Pat. That's pretty gender neutral.
Yeah.
And then...
I was watching Jeopardy the other day, and it was college kids, you know?
Yeah.
And the middle person was Kyle. And I could not tell if Kyle was either a male, masculine or feminine. And even when she talked or he talked, could not tell. And it was really... And she wore a sweatshirt.
Right.
So I could not tell if it had boobs or not.
And you're just like,
and I was like, oh, what the hell?
Right. Well, see, that's exactly what your brain should do then.
It should just go, I can't figure this one out.
And you go, okay, done. Now it goes into the undetermined category.
Yeah.
Big deal, but at least your brain put it in a category.
But then I thought about this, like, so what if I'm, like, you know, traveling on a train?
Yes.
Which I would
never do.
But if and Kyle sat next to me.
Yes.
And I just struck up a conversation with Kyle. Yeah. How would I go about, you know, what would be the questions that I would ask to not actually ask Kyle?
I think at some point you're going,
his or her sex was.
Yeah.
But what would be some clues? But I say, oh, are you in a relationship?
Say, yeah. No, you go like this. Oh, they're over there. Are they? There they are. No, I'm right here. Oh, like, oh. Well, that wouldn't help either.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just because they're they, it wouldn't help.
None of it helps.
No. It was Kyle. It's Kyle.
I think, I don't know what, okay, are you in a relationship? That could be a start.
Yeah.
I don't think clear.
But see, I wouldn't because I think, I don't know if I would do that for a young person.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't ask those questions anymore. You know, back in the day.
Say a sophomore in college.
I don't even know what questions I ask anymore.
What field are you studying?
I don't even know.
Marine biology. That's usually a lesbian.
There, you don't know that.
That's usually lesbians.
No, you don't know anything. You can't. Here's the thing. You don't judge anybody. You know, I think we're coming to a world where we're not supposed to put anybody in categories.
Right.
But my brain works like that. Like, there was a game called Scategories.
Yeah.
Because your brain naturally wants to put it in categories for people
morning,
and things.
When I had my breakfast,
yeah,
I actually put my bagel in bagel and not toast. That category. What if I would have tried to have scrunched my bagel into the toast category?
I don't know.
What would that have worked?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No.
I mean, you look at the pyramid of food, you know. You can't put your bagel in the fruit and vegetable category.
No.
Now, they try now by adding cauliflower to pizza crust, and you're like, now my brain's confused.
Yeah.
Is it a grain or is it a vegetable?
Right.
And then when you look deeper, you're like, oh, the first ingredient is really flour. It's a grain, you know.
Yeah.
It could count as half a vegetable. Like, all right, it can count as half a vegetable.
It soothes you.
Exactly. It's something like that, right?
So I guess I'm not going to even worry about meeting Kyle on a train someday.
I don't know. I'm curious, but in some ways, I wish you would have came to the plate having fully formed these questions, but I have no idea.
Jill, are you talking about the plate of this radio show?
Yeah. We did not come to this.
Yeah, place. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Come fully formed. I think about cool stuff all day, all week long.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes about 20 seconds to get to tell everybody, like, I'm moving on. You know, there it is. That's all I have to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, today being Easter, happy Easter, Mother.
Same to you, honey.
We are.
I was passing a little church yesterday in Forreston because Dad and I, when we go to the Dollar General, we go to the furthest one out. It's like we go to the Dollar General so far out in the country, so far removed that maybe the population is about 500
right
to this for this Dollar General, so that nobody is there,
right?
And people, for whatever reason, if there's two cars in the thing, they will wait until some person comes out. So we feel pretty good going there.
Yep.
But the little church across the way said had a big sign, Easter is canceled.
Aww.
So I didn't know what to. I felt like sad.
Yeah.
And I also thought, is it though?
Is it really canceled?
Because Jesus is in my heart.
Not canceled.
Jesus is resurrected.
Yeah.
The resurrection.
Not canceled.
Not canceled.
Jesus is not. Easter is not canceled. I went into Walmart for a split hot second.
When was this?
4 days ago, something like that.
Okay.
And if I had to stroll by the Easter aisles, they were not. I repeat, they were not abiding by the 6-foot rule. There were tons of people in the Easter sections, looking for stuff for their kids or their grandkids. Mm-hmm. So
in that respect, Easter's not canceled.
No, and I think in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, Easter's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because a lot of people's plans are changed. She was talking to Doug, and I like, oh, so what's going on with you for Easter? Is your sister having, and are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, when is Easter? I go, it's Sunday. He's like, oh, haven't even thought about it. I'm like, okay, cool. And we're planning to try to do like a virtual scavenger hunt, something just to connect with everybody on Zoom. Because everybody now has Zoom.
Because it's so much fun to do it that way. You know?
Well,
I had two doctor's appointments this week.
Yes.
On Zoom,
both virtual.
Yeah, both virtual.
Whatever, they're more privacy, you know, doxy kind of thing. I don't think it was Zoom per se.
No, but it was,
Zoom-like.
Yeah,
for
Zoom-like,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I thought they were great, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can understand the value of it.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, so that's kind of...
And see, these were appointments that I'd had, you know, like for 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
So they were just checkups. So it was not like... You know,
well, what was happening as well is that you were saying stuff like they had called and they had said, hey, you know what? Hold on a second, sorry, buddy. They were asking you, hey, you know, we're taking specialty care of all of our patients. Do you want to come in and see your doctor, you know, for your 6 month exam? And you're like, are you sure this is appropriate? Should we not go to the hospital? Should we not go? They're like, well, it's really your decision. However, we are doing, I got the impression the nurse was like, you know, trying to keep her job. Like, let's come on in. You know, we're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then finally, so if we can do virtual, and you're like, you jumped on that. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because people are riding this fine line of how do we keep life moving forward, being more cautious. Mm-hmm. And
well, I think if I would have been sick or, you know, not feeling well, I might have, you know, said, oh, I'll go in or whatever.
Right.
But to me, that's the easiest way to get sick.
it is.
Go in. I mean, I've never had a doctor's waiting room where it's I'm the only there's like, you know, you're jam packed like a sardine.
Yeah. It's
crazy. You gotta wait. It's not ventilated well.
It's crazy.
They got that horrible light.
Yeah.
Which I don't even understand.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Radiolab a little bit and they are totally on the coronavirus. You know, just talking about it a lot. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about.
It's the coronavirus train.
Exactly. And so I went back. I was done with the coronavirus stuff. And then I went back a month to see what they were talking about on Radiolab. I like that podcast, Radiolab. They kind of go in depth of the story. And they used to have just these two guys do most of the stories. Mm-hmm. And I guess the one guy retired. And don't know their names.
Jeez.
I know. Crazy.
Retire from being on the radio.
Retire from saying a half hour podcast a week.
Yeah.
I thought that's a mistake. And I thought maybe he's being pushed out. Because now they just have a bunch of millennials. Now, there's one, though. The story is about Guantanamo Bay. Okay. And there's like seven episodes of this podcast all on Guantanamo Bay. And it starts off, and here's the reason how it starts off. And I thought it was fascinating how it starts off. This one guy, and that's why my phone went off, because I was kind of confirming with my facts, even though I don't really push the facts. We're kind of safe. So, Radiolab's Latif Nasser, LATIF, that's his name. He was on this one website that you can go on to that can track all the other people that have your name in the United States. So if you put Latif Nasser in, it'll spew out something. Mm-hmm. And it said there's one or less in the United States. And he goes, well, that must be me. And so, but to find out, there was one more Latif Nasser in the United States. Mm-hmm. And this one happened to be in Guantanamo Bay, still being there
from 2001
or 5, whenever he went.
Uh-huh.
He's been there for over 15 years.
Whoa.
I know. Now, I haven't heard the whole story, but can I share a little bit about this with you?
Yeah.
First off, he travels different countries to find out more about Latif Nasser from Guantanamo Bay, because what happened was he got a lawyer. He was picked up in Syria. I don't know where he's picked up at, but came to Guantanamo Bay as a person of extreme danger, you know? And he got a lawyer. This is near the end of Barack Obama's term. And he was up for parole after 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or 11 years. And they said yes. They, all five people agreed, you know what, we do not deem you a risk anymore. Your family's in Morocco. They have a job for you. They're willing to take you. We send you back. And the lawyer was so incredibly happy, like, oh my God, this is great. This is awesome. And but the thing is, Morocco had to, like, make sure they took them. Like, the paperwork had to come through. Mm-hmm. And it got lost in someone's inbox. Their side didn't take care of it. Mm. And during this time, President Trump is now coming into office. Mm-hmm. Now, where Barack Obama is saying, hey, we're closing up Guantanamo Bay. We're going to get rid of it. The first thing President Trump says, we're keeping that place open. There's nothing but bad guys down there. We're keeping it open. Now, guess how much it costs the U.S. government, mm-hmm. and let's just be real, the U.S. taxpayers, mm-hmm. for one person to stay down there in Guantanamo Bay a year?
I'm going to say $50,000.
I'm going to say you are totally off.
By?
You can't even explain how far off you are.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
$250,000.
$13 million.
A person?
That's right. That's right. That's what they said. It costs $13 million a person.
Listen, I'll take one in my house.
I will take one.
I will build the room over the garage.
I will take two, and I'll do it for the bargain price of $2 million a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will guarantee their safety and every person's safety around us.
I will keep them chained up in the room above the garage.
I will break every moral code I have. For that kind of money.
You want to find out how integrity we have?
No. Okay. So I'm like.
Put that application in right now, girlfriend.
I will be a foster parent to this 60-year-old man. Who doesn't.
Latif Nassar, get your ass here.
Yeah. I will figure it out. And you know what? You make it $2 million, I'll spread the money to all my neighbors. You know, I won't just do it for $1 million. I'll do it for two or three.
Yeah.
Spread the money all over my
neighbors. So it quiets there if they have any anxiety.
It's like, Mama, it's truly like the damn windmills. You know, if you get it on your farmland and you're getting the money, you're happy.
Yeah.
If they didn't put it on the neighbor's farm,
they're
pissed.
Because they see the windmill.
And they see the windmill, but they're not
and
getting
they're
the benefit.
Hearing it to...
Yeah, exactly. The shade is hitting them and so forth. But if they get a little bit of money, they're like, there's a thing.
Yeah.
Here, I spread the wealth around a little bit.
Yeah.
We'd also keep a tracker. But, I mean, we could figure out a way to make it better
we
for them.
We could put an ankle bracelet on.
Yes. Yeah. We could do it healthier.
I could really use the help around the yard.
I'm sure that's true. But,
I become a slave owner.
Oh, geez, that's not true. That would not be good. You'd pass the wealth. You'd give them money as well. We'd figure it out. But
okay, I'd give them a checking account.
Yeah.
And then when they were done with their time, they'd have a little bit of money to...
And wink, wink, their time is never done.
Got it.
That's
love it.
Yeah.
We pass them on down.
Hey, so, Mom, you've got a sick warp mind here. Every time you...
I just need it. You know what, girl? I am a girl that needs household help.
You really do. Because
I don't care how I get it.
Your daughter's getting older, and she is no longer the help that she once was. And she didn't have kids that were willing to help grandma and grandpa out. So, you know.
Listen, I have tried to get kids.
There's no
kids out there that were willing to work. Do you know, Norm and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about how my best friend in high school slept with the owner of the store that I worked at. And he goes, well, how old were you when you got your first job? I go, I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
It was my freshman year in high school. I started, we went into this record shop, which they no longer have.
Right.
That's also was like a stereo hi-fi equipment. And to try and sell our freshman album that we made at Notre Dame High School,
okay.
And I think the owner thought, hey, these two girls might actually bring in high school traffic.
Yeah,
I can sell things, So we started working there after school stuff like that. And I worked there all through high school.
Yeah.
So did Mary.
Oh my gosh.
And then when she went to college, and, when I started working at Stixbear and Fuller then. But she stayed on.
Right.
And that's when she started sleeping with him.
Oh.
But not as a freshman or something.
Thank God.
Like but I meant we actually had jobs.
Yeah.
Like Norm had a paper route.
Yeah.
You know?
And he also, Norm
Kids
also,
don't have jobs these days.
I don't know. No, they don't. I don't know what's going on.
And they don't
want to
help you.
Yeah.
They just don't.
And maybe because they don't need anything. Like, literally, they're, you know.
They're self-contained.
Back in the day, utilities were just about electricity.
Yeah.
Your parents' job were just to feed, clothe, and, you know, make sure they don't kill themselves. Like, you know,
for us.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure they don't kill you. Yeah. But now, kids are so self-contained. With the computer that has access, you know, their access to the world is at their fingertips.
It's mostly, though, they say that, I read that is kids don't, it's not the computer that's, that is, if you take away, that's a punishment, it's the iPad.
Oh, of course, that's what I mean.
That's the thing.
I call it, whether it's in your phone, whether it's on an iPad.
Girl, get with it, girl.
I know. Because I know if you say computer, the kids are like, what are you talking about? What's a computer?
Yeah, what's a computer?
Oh, it's that thing that you're doing your whole life on. My phone? Yeah, that's right. How about your operating system? I don't know.
My device?
Yeah. And so a couple of things that I learned listening to this, it's so heartbreaking because you have poor little Kim Kardashian, you know, trying to become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got her team of lawyers trying to set people free who deserve to be free, mm-hmm. you know, who've been, you know, who get like weird sentences and they...
I bet, though, here's the thing. I bet in the all of eternity, you will never hear those words together, though.
Poor Kardashian.
Poor little Kim Kardashian.
You're right. That might be the first time in history that someone has said that phrase.
Yeah. But now that it's out in the stratosphere,
yes.
You know, they're putting it together, you know, the interdimensionals,
yeah.
are putting those words together again, and
oh,
who knows?
Who knows? Some counterpart to Kim Kardashian might be born little, I don't know. No, but so I'm listening to this story about Latif Nesser and how, like I said, I haven't gotten to the end yet, so I don't know. I'm only 2.5 hours into this thing. Anyway, where we're at now in the story is this poor guy. He was allowed to be set free, you know, and because of a paperwork and not speedy results
right.
anywhere,
right.
and then a transition into the government, all the opportunities. He's still there.
Yeah.
And what's really sad, and I get this, is that. So you have this parole board, basically, mm-hmm. you know, that has to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they're scared shitless because they know the consequence of keeping somebody there. They know that not everybody deserves to be there. They know they haven't had trials.
Mm-hmm.
But if they let them go and on the slim chance they do hurt somebody,
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, the guilt that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's career suicide, mm-hmm. you know. So they do nothing
mm-hmm.
because doing nothing is better than doing something and being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that a weird world we live in?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it that everybody's afraid. Like, well, I don't want to get this person out of jail, but what if he does something again?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, if we're going to play that game, then the truth is we should have every man locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is 90% of all crime are committed by men. Mm-hmm. Sorry, men. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not over-judging you. I'm just taking a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because of your testosterone. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I'm mm-hmm. just saying. Is what it is. But it just feels... so weird that this guy, you know, given that, like, yeah, you're set to go free, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then so we're, so Latif Nesser.
If I was going to be his, like, you know, jail guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would have said to him, don't get your hopes up.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. They're telling you this, but I'm going to say, here's what I would have said.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen a million times. You're not getting out of here.
Now, here's the other problem.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah. And I see this a lot in like, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you give somebody up or lie to get cut yourself a deal, you get the deal, and maybe the person who did, like the drive away guy who didn't do the crime or didn't mm-hmm. do the murder, gets like 40 years in prison, where the guy who did rob the bank, you know, got only 4 because he gave everybody up, right?
Ah,
he cut the deal.
Right.
And so the lawyer for him, she was talking about this idea that the problem with the parole board, for lack of a better word, it's not mm-hmm. called a parole board there. They want to know that you feel exceptionally bad for what you did, mm-hmm. and that you,
which was to look, what Muslim, would that be what you did?
A lot of times I think you were part of a extreme group.
Got it.
And you have to denounce the extreme, like, no, like, I totally see how wrong they were and so forth.
Gosh.
Yeah. But if you didn't do any of the crimes.
Yeah.
And so.
It's kind of like the Salem witch trial.
Yes.
If we tie a big brick to your ankles and throw you in water.
Yes.
If you drown, you weren't a witch.
Right.
But if you come to the top, somehow that was magical, then we kill you.
That's right. And you're like, congratulations.
Damned if I do, damned if I don't.
Yeah. You're like, screw this.
See, that's what I'm saying. Don't get your hopes up.
Don't get your hopes up. Don't. It's a crazy system.
You tell me I'm the wise one. I'm just saying.
You're just saying you are the wise one.
Don't get your hopes up.
I see, when I listen to this stuff and when I watched poor little Kim Kardashian's special on Oxygen, I go, it's all crazy. You know, because mm-hmm. she was sharing how, like, this one.
How hard it is to get somebody released from prison.
Yes. If they have a life term.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, Congress made it so that judges had mandatory sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'd be mandatory sentencing the problem is that if you didn't take the offer that they were giving you in the beginning, or if your partner did, mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. the person who actually did the crime,
yeah,
could be, he could get off in 7, but the person who didn't,
yeah,
still an accomplice per se, but he was like, I don't deserve
this. Once again,
this.
I'd be willing to take somebody like that into my home.
I know you would.
And as there long would, as they were willing to,
there's got to be a better
work.
Way. Yeah. Yard work.
I'm not even saying inside the housework. I'm saying outside the housework.
We could create, we have a couple extra bedrooms.
Yeah.
We can get that all done. They can get perfect. They can have a private bathroom.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we got cable.
Yeah.
We got Roku. Yeah. We got HBO. I mean, they can Skype their family.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, we can give them a job out. We can give them a job in the house, outside the house.
Maybe he could try and be a dog trainer.
Yes. Oh, we could use that. So, I mean, like, truly, I could use a personal coach as well. Someone that could, like, we're going to get you in shape,
maybe
Julie.
Maybe he could be a physical trainer. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, like, $20 an hour?
Yeah.
And we are getting paid $1 million to keep him in the house.
Yeah. No.
You know,
he didn't get $20 an hour. He gets free room and board and a stipend.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then maybe we have job training.
And he's grateful.
Oh, he's... You know, see, you can't be like, you can't mandate someone's emotional state. You'd like that, though. I would like that.
I would like to think that they're happy for, you know, that they're happy here, too.
Yes. I would feel guilty. I would have to go, we're going to give you a percentage of what we're getting paid to take care of you, make sure you're good. Yeah. And, you know, you can send back to your family.
And what happens if that check doesn't hit our checking account on the first of the month for that dude? Out he goes, right? Or then what happens?
I guess we're stuck. You know, it's like you made a commitment, regardless if you got paid or not.
Ooh, did we sign something like that?
I would think so.
Oh,
I don't know.
Since that totally, government, I'm not voting for that guy.
Since it's totally a manufactured situation, I'm saying that we get all of our money up front, and in account,
yeah,
like an escrow account,
yeah.
That is earning interest.
Yes.
And then, and if something happens, like he escapes our,
right,
you know, he can then whatever.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I think we should get a year up front.
Yeah. No, I would say
a
lifespan. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because they're love already it. Paying $13 million a year.
Correct. Yeah.
For one person.
It. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I love that.
So, yada, yada, yada.
I mean, I could also use a cook. Maybe they could be, you know.
Right.
I'm saying is life skills.
Yes.
Cooking, cleaning,
right?
Whatever.
I'm saying,
dog
God,
training.
These men and women are like most. I think they're 99% men. I don't think there's any women up there. But I mean, they're already.
Then maybe they could be a eunuch too.
Oh Jesus!
Because you were telling me, you were telling me
that was me.
You thought that the eunuchs were like asexual beings, but then you read a little bit further, and you realized that
in the next paragraph,
one of the reasons that they're asexual, that they took their organs or whatever and dismissed them in some sense, is that they could be longer, better lovers to the women.
Yes.
So,
not to women in general, just to the queen.
To the queen.
And excuse me. You are the queen of your house.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I could use
You could use more, what do they call the people? Their court? Their, you know.
No, but I could say, would you mind being a eunuch?
Yes.
For me as well.
You could ask.
Yeah. No, not it. I'm going to be as an order.
Okay, got it.
Like, you know, like on your to-do list, your everyday list.
Yes.
It's like chop wood, carry water, and service the queen.
Yeah.
But to be honest, not in that order.
But to be honest, do you really care about being serviced?
I like to think about it.
You like to think that you think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the truth is you're just like, oh God, you know.
One more thing to do.
Yeah, I would feel like whatever.
It really depends, though. I mean, let's say if I'm listening to some good music, you know, having a joint.
Yeah. Drinking some wine. All those things.
And then
you
go bring in the eunuch.
Yeah.
Clean him up first.
Yeah, because he's been working outside all day, cutting your trees down.
But I'm imagining that he's nice and tan.
Yeah.
And he's got those six packs.
I'm sure he is because he's been in Guantanamo Bay for 10 years. To Cuba. So we're not bringing light to this. I really was messed up by this story.
Sorry.
I was messed up in so many different ways that I was just like, there's nothing that I can do to solve that problem.
No.
Except to literally offer my house, like for a fee. And you know what? I would like to know if that's
so
a possibility.
So I'm taking advantage of that. That's all
the
I
The truth
to.
Is, I really wonder if there'd be a lot more people out there that would do these kinds of things if the price was right.
I agree. Well, one of my things was I felt like in terms of the homeless population, you know, I felt like every church in America had to take one homeless person.
Yes.
And that would be, I bet that could end homelessness because every church would have to make sure this person was okay.
Right.
Now, of course, they would have to go to church.
Yes.
And, you know, they'd have to straighten up and fly right.
Right.
You know,
that's the problem.
Why?
The straighten them and fly right part. Because I don't think...
But because if they're in a church can command them to do that.
Oh, sure.
Not the government. The government can't tell you to straighten up and fly right.
That's right.
But hey, we remanded you to this church.
Yes.
And now you're going to do what this pastor and the choir lady and the church lady... But they all said.
And you know what that guy, that person who's homeless said?
Yeah.
The first chance I get, I'm going back to L.A.
That's
and be homeless.
Yeah.
Because it's much better than living in Minnesota where it's cold most of the time.
No, but see, here's the thing.
Yeah, tell me
either
the thing.
Are.
Yeah.
You go, either you're not homeless in a church or you know, they can't be homeless in L.A. That's what I'm saying.
Got it.
They
got
to find some other way. So, I don't know. I just always felt like that was a good thing to do.
It is a good thing.
Because it's like Jesus said, clothe the homeless.
Yeah.
Or the naked.
Yes.
And shelter the homeless.
Yes.
Or is it shelter the naked?
It's all of the above. He said, clothe and shelter those people, please.
And feed them.
And feed them.
Yeah.
I think about that, and it's like there are ways of thinking outside the box.
And, you know, this is very appropriate on Easter Sunday to think about what Jesus said.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because you go, okay, how do we get hooked up with people like with services? Like, hey, you're going to start going to college or junior college. Let's get you into career. Because a lot of times you fall into these holes because you don't have a bigger plan.
Well, I don't know if you remember this because you were very young, but in the 1970s, your father and I we had a house in the back of our house.
Yes.
We had a little... Like
that
a little,
you intentionally bought this house that we owned because
it had a house in back, a little tiny little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought people, when they visited, could stay out there.
Meaning
and stuff.
Your parents.
Yeah. That did not happen, unfortunately.
Uh-uh.
But anyway, we took in a homeless person, you know, and it lasted for about 2 weeks.
If I'm not mistaken, we had to call the police to get him out.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. And it didn't end good.
Didn't end well.
Did not end well.
Uh-uh.
And he was working for us. We had a limousine company.
Uh-huh.
And he drove a limousine for us. And he lived in the back house.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound good on the surface?
On the surface, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, but we were afraid that eventually we were going to get killed in our sleep.
Yes. Well, and I also think he had an alcohol problem.
Yes, he did.
Which, to give a guy with an alcohol problem the keys to the car,
yeah,
is not like the smartest thing. Oops. But it was the 70s.
It was the 70s.
Yeah, we did stupid shit like that.
I mean, if I let you drive in the 70s.
Yes.
I'm going to let an alcoholic drive.
I think I didn't start driving until it was the early 80s.
Okay.
Maybe the late 70s. I mean, I had to have been able to touch the
puddles. Early 80s, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
You were at least in the 8th grade,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, sure. Well, that was probably pushing it. Probably 7th grade. yeah, I mean, so there's like such a huge problem with this. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
That's what I'm saying. Let the churches handle it.
Yeah.
you don't like that idea.
I in theory it could possibly work.
Yeah.
But you need to have like social structures, you know,
yeah. Make sure that they get their meds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like if they are an active alcoholic or drug addicted, mm-hmm. you know, 30 meetings in 30 days, mm-hmm. 90 meetings in 90 days.
Right.
I mean, things
right.
like that.
Right.
And how do we go about doing that? I was listening to
but maybe one church, you know, like 150 people versus one person.
Yeah.
That's a village.
I totally agree. And then like maybe every parishioner, he have dinner with somebody different every night.
Every night.
Go here for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. We can do this.
Yeah.
Keep you active, keep you busy so that you don't get lonely. And right. then when you're lonely, you get yeah. your head not screwed on straight.
And then he falls in love with one of your daughters and they hook up and then they leave. They go to Tennessee because yeah. the age of... They can get married at 13 down there.
Your stories always go so south. I find life...
Life south
yeah.
is that they can... That's when they get married at 13.
You're right. Yeah. There was a new t-shirt company on QVC, and this was live. They were... Because I thought QVC I shut down.
Yeah.
But I guess too much time has passed, and they're like, you know, we can do this...
With 6 feet apart.
Yes.
If you walk in the door...
Yeah.
And you don't have a security guard anymore. You have a temperature-taking man.
Oh, there you go.
And if the temperature-taking man takes your temperature, and then it's you're not... You don't have mm-hmm. a fever,
mm-hmm.
and you're not expectorating...
Yeah.
You can walk in.
Oh, hello.
But
that's
you do
great.
Have to stay 6 feet apart.
Yeah, because you still be a carrier or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, this t-shirt was called Life's Good. And they trademarked the phrase Life's Good. I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, my God. Because I have.
Small print. And
what do I have on top of my TV?
Life's Good.
That's right.
On smaller print, it says Life's Not Easy. Life's Not Perfect. Life's Good. And so that's the phrase.
Uh-huh.
Life's not easy. Life's not perfect.
Uh-huh.
But life's good.
Uh-huh.
And it was a plus size model. I'm like, girlfriend, I get you. And life's not easy. Life's not perfect. But life's good. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just this whole idea that that's where we're at now. Like, I think we are abandoning any.
Yeah, I can see that. That QVC is selling plus size clothes because everybody's eating 3 meals a day.
Yes.
Plus snacks.
Yes.
And drinking.
And drinking.
And baking.
Oh, I know. It's yeah. fucking crazy.
Yeah. And you can't find toilet paper in the store, but you can make a shitload of food. I don't know.
I heard I saw
one person yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, where you have that line of like magazines that are free, like to have the cars
yeah.
for sale.
Yeah.
I saw one person taking like about 8 to 10 of those things out of things.
The magazines.
And I said,
yeah.
What are you using all those for?
What do you say?
Toilet paper.
Please.
Yes.
You know what that means to me? First of all, that toilet, hopefully he's homeless because he should not be pooping. He could be pooping in an outhouse, but he cannot be pooping in somebody's real toilet with that kind of toilet paper.
With that kind of paper.
It's going to clog things up.
But no, but...
He can throw it away.
Exactly.
He can take it, wrap it in
use
in
it
bag
for kindling.
And throw it away. That would be okay.
I would say he use it for kindling.
Sure.
Because
poop...
Poop...
Are you joking?
It
I don't
burns.
Think that's true. I don't know if that's
ashes
true.
Ashes to ashes, girl.
Yeah.
That's what they do on ships.
They burn the poop.
They burn it so much that at the end of a cruise, you can take all of the poop out in one bag. Pan to God. Maybe two bags. But they make it into ashes. And then they make those ashes into cubes.
And then...
And then they put them in.
And then make those ashes turn them into bricks. And then we build homes for the homeless.
One Full way circle. Or another, we're going to make those cruise ships pay for what they did to us.
Exactly, because they're just literally floating Petri dishes. We're not making a lie of people who've lost their lives on cruise ships.
We're not making fun of Petri dishes.
No. You know what? Honestly,
And really, what has a Petri ever done for you?
Not much. He hasn't hurt me either. But, we've done some damage to those dishes. Yeah. I haven't seen a Petri dish since high school or college, maybe high school. I don't think I took anything in college that needed a Petri dish. Thank God. Thank God. Okay. So anyway, we have about 5 minutes left of the show.
What?
I know. This will be the longest 5 minutes left. but I finally finished Dr. Sleep.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Getting back to the beginning of the show.
Did I bring that up in the beginning of the show?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because of the synchronicity stuff.
Yes.
And I so enjoyed this book. I can barely take it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And like Stephen King, his unabridged stuff, what I liked about it, his characters are so flawed and perfect in their flaws. Mm-hmm. And they always, there's a 12-step theme throughout this whole book. And I started to fall in love with that program. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, they all seem so cool, people in the program.
Yeah.
And you don't hear about that anymore. Like, oh, I'm in the program.
Yeah.
I'm in the program.
It's because you're supposed to be not, what is it? Anonymous.
No, I know that. Alcoholics Anonymous. I get it. Yeah. But before, it was much more in our...
Faces?
Yeah.
Got it.
What was the word you used?
Anonymous.
No, it was... That's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm saying people used the AA a lot because I think people, a lot more people went to it.
Right.
Like, I don't think people use it as a viable way to get off of drugs
anymore.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
Or a viable way to be.
Yeah, it's kind of got, it wasn't this, it's not as popular as it once was.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But because they said statistically, people who go into AA or OA or, NA, Narcotics Anonymous or whatever, they have a better success rate than people who spend thousands upon thousands of dollars in intakes.
But see, that's probably why you don't hear about it.
Right.
Because it's cheap.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
You can't make money
off of it.
It's
a donation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what person wants to have a book about, intermittent fasting? I can't sell a product on intermittent fasting.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't sell you my whole line of food on that, on that concept. But I can highly recommend
that
book.
That's a very good point, Jules.
Was there anything that you saw in this lockdown week that you'd like to bring up as something interesting to see?
In the last 5 minutes?
I know that you
did
wanted
you
to
finish
bless
your,
Chris Cuomo.
The story, though? Did you finish your story on Dr. Sleep?
Yeah, I'm giving it 5 stars.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm giving it 5 stars.
You wanted me to talk about Chris Cuomo?
No, I could say one more thing about Latif Nasser.
Yeah.
Not the one doing not the one that works for Radiolab, but the one that's down in Guantanamo Bay. Mm-hmm. The one that works for Radiolab actually went to visit his family because one of the reasons why he was there is that they said that he joined an extreme group.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if you put it in context, it was when he was in college. Yes, he joined a group. Mm-hmm. However, it wasn't a violent group, but it was an anti-government group. But during that time, I think he said Morocco had a very dictator totalitarian government, and so the only way you could try to make change was to join these groups.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're getting these these pieces of the puzzle, and then you just feel bad because you're like, I don't know the truth.
But did he go to Morocco to see his family? Or was his family in the United States?
No, Morocco.
Well, when I was in college, I joined an extremist group.
Did you know?
The SDS.
What does that stand for?
Students for a Democratic Society.
How dare you?
I know. And when my dad found out, he was like a rageaholic on me. He was like, how dare you?
Because he thought you were a commie?
No, he thought I was for...
Democrats.
for black people. Like
that was them.
That was like, giving them the rights to vote and
okay.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my dad was, if he'd be here, maybe he'd have a different thought about it. But
yeah,
back then he was pretty like, no.
Yeah. No. He was basically a racist.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, and you, I hear a story like that, and I'm yeah. going like, oh yeah, back then people did have crazy thoughts like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And hopefully that doesn't happen anymore.
And so I tried to break away from that.
You did. You yeah. moved away. Thank and you're you. Like, thank you. You know, you dated every black man in sight.
Thank you.
You're like, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna do my part.
Yeah.
To change this.
Well, if they played the guitar like, who is that really good black guitar player?
Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You were all in.
I dated those guys.
Yes, yeah. You did. You did your part.
Yes.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, Oprah says that sometimes the old generation who's racist have to die off. Yes. And, you know.
the last, the racist, that's the title of my book, is dead. Long live.
The last one's gone. We can party now. Thank God.
Party like it's 1999.
Exactly.
Before the coronavirus.
Not, yeah, before the coronavirus.
Before the coronavirus, when it was just corona.
I want to, so that would be, when was our last normal day? October 2019?
Yeah, the last normal day.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Griffin, how was the show?
I have no idea, but
hopefully
to me,
it was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great.